mistake. So the Torah says that a king can't have too many wives. Anyone know the shear? What the shear? How many wives he can have? 18. Can't have too many. Can't have more than 18 wives. Rashi, if you've read Rashi al Torah. That's Rashi al Torah. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf, I'm just reading it off of my
Gemara. As long as like it doesn't distract you, or they're good wives, they're good women.
Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph, Mipnei Ma Lo Nisgalu Tamei Torah. Very interesting question. Should we be pursuing Tamei HaMitzvos? Should we try to uncover the reasons behind mitzvos? So on the one hand, it's a philosophical question. Why should you do mitzvos? Should you do mitzvos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you? Should you do mitzvos because there's an inherent good, inherent reason, something Eli alluded to yesterday in the Chug? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands a mitzvah, is it basically because it's a good activity that's redemptive of the human condition, or, as many philosophers suggested, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the command and it becomes good, but Hashem doesn't have to command because it's good? It's a very famous question. If Hashem would command you to kill someone, would that become moral? Obviously, you'd have to do it, but... So, does Hashem command the mitzvah because it has inherent logic, or it has inherent morality and logic, only because Hashem commanded it? So, if you're looking for a tamei mitzvah, it's presuming that there's inherent good, that you can find the reason, not just because Hashem gave the commands. That's a philosophical question. But it's also a practical question, because if we're pursuing tamei mitzvahs, that may lead people to abandoning mitzvahs when they feel the reason no longer obtains or applies. Very famous controversy in the Rambam, who tagged certain mitzvahs to transient tamim, to reasons which were historically contextual. Well, the reason it's usher to drink blood is because those cultures would drink blood, or those cultures would wear shatnez. People found this very controversial. What happens when we no longer live in a blood-drinking or shatnez-wearing culture? Are these mitzvahs no longer mandatory? So the third reason is not just because philosophically you may not want or need a reason for the mitzvah, not just because people will ignore the mitzvah once they become historically obsolete, but people will make their own judgments. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks of Shlomo who made such a judgment. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mipnei Ma Lo Nisgalu Tamei Torah. Why weren't the mitzvahs of Torah delivered? Sharei Shtei Mikros Halalo Nisgalu Tamam. Because there were two mitzvahs in Parsha Shoftim whose reasons were provided. He shouldn't have too many wives so that they shouldn't turn his heart. Shlomo said, oh, you know what? I'll take a chance. I'll have as many wives as I need. And I'll be careful. I'm different. I'll know how to filter. I'll know how to create that emotional checks and balances. Shlomo says, ani arbe velo asur. That was his language. I'll have as many wives, Egyptian wives, as I want. And what happened? Pasuk in Malachim, vayihi le'es ziknas Shlomo. He too aslavavo. So Shlomo tried to be a chacham. Shlomo fashioned himself a chacham. Reishis chachma kenei chachma. He thought that intellect is where it all began. David HaMelech said, Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. Shlomo writes, Reishis chachma kenei chachma. We'll talk about that difference. Kenei chachma. Kenei, buy, acquire chachma. Kenei chachma. Reishis Chachma, Kenei Chachma, Shlomo says. David says, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem. Shlomo says, Reishis Chachma, Kenei Chachma. So in general, this is a challenge. People who think they're smarter than everyone else, smarter than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, they'll play with fire, so to speak. They'll decide their own rules and laws. And indeed, the second part of the Gemara talks about Shlomo's reasoning about too many horses. I'll have as many horses as I need. I'll be greedy, so to speak, but I won't... return to Egypt, as the Torah warns, not just figuratively, but figuratively. But in particular, people sometimes aren't careful enough when it comes to matters of sexual propriety, in which the slippery slope nature of these powerful forces HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded within us aren't often appreciated. Chazal were sensitive to this on very many, many different fronts. Early stage chumras, when we talk about chumras, you think about a chumra of the local rabbi down the block, but Chazal were already sensitive to chumras. The first mission in Pirkei Avos, Asu Siag LaTorah, one of the first statements they made, Heve Mesudim Badin, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, Asu Siag LaTorah. So Shabbos was an area that attracted a lot of chumra, we call it Muktzah, because it's theologically so central. So Muktzah was enacted in order to protect the spirit of Shabbos. You should only take, you should only raise items that you need for Shabbos. Everything else is Muktzah. And human sexuality. So, for example, the laws of Nida are very, very, very elaborately surrounded by Chumras. The Nida that we keep today, that Emir Tashem, you'll learn in a few years when it comes time to get married, is much more stringent than the base Dinei Nida. And sometimes, under the guidance of a Posek, because after all, too stringent Nida adherence can sometimes create problems with having children, because to have children you have to be with your wife, and sometimes it can be a little bit conflicting. So a Posek, under very, very guarded, you can't do this on your own, can try to relax this chumrah or that chumrah for a local, isolated situation in order to enable childbearing. Chazal also asur yichud. Yichud is more or less asur midraban, and some say maybe asur min haTorah. Because Chazal were aware, as they said, ein apotropos l'arayas. It's a phrase in the Gemara in Ksuvos on daf yud gimel amud beis. Ein apotropos l'arayas. Apotropos means there's no one who would say, oh, I'll guard myself. And apotropos is like the executor of an estate that says, I'll take care of the matters on behalf, and don't worry, children, I'll worry about your financial matters. So Chazal say, ein apotropos l'arayas. It happens to be stated in the context of yud gimel amud beis. In Ksuvos, where the Gemara is talking about a woman who was found in private precincts with another man, and they were claiming they didn't have BM, or she was captured. You know, when you're in that situation, it's almost obvious, especially in those days. Ein apotropos l'arayas. But the Torah was aware of it. Lo tasuru acharei levavchem b'charei neichem asher atim zonim achareihem. Obviously, your heart and your eyes take you to different pastures and lead you astray in different contexts, but no more so than in this field. So Baruch Hashem, these forces that you possess are a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not meant to be seen as, God forbid, chalila v'chas, impure or unhealthy. In the modern context, adolescence has created a bit of a challenge. Adolescence is about 150 years old. That's meant to be an ironic statement. Adolescence didn't exist 200 years ago. Young men, certainly even young women, graduated immediately from childhood to adulthood. Around the age of 13, 14. They got married. They were workers. So the moment that you were sexually aware, you expressed your sexuality. It was a very natural transition. Modernity has invented adolescence, where we delay the transition into adulthood by about 10 years. But there's a lag between when you express your sexuality and when you start to feel your sexuality. That's a 10-year lag that creates a lot of pressure and a lot of strain. And especially in the modern context, where you're over-sexually stimulated already at an early age, that strain is augmented or exacerbated. So the job of our community as people is to try to maintain a sexual suppression, so to speak, even though the sexuality has already started to develop. But that shouldn't in any way confuse you into thinking that it's treif or impure. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, especially in today's world, where, as you know, it's difficult for people, and unfortunately, we live in an era in which sexual identity is not an assumed. It's not something that you just, unfortunately, are people who legitimately feel non-heterosexual tendencies. And, you know, we certainly accept them into our community, but our goal is to be heterosexual, without question. But especially during these years and even beyond, especially in that world, don't assume I'll look at everything, I'll encounter everything, and I'll filter, and I'll hold back, and I'll... Sometimes in the modern Orthodox world, we're very poor at drawing red lines. We're very poor at saying, you know what, I can't look at that. I can't. We have this delusion that we can encounter everything and embrace everything and interact with everything, and we'll know what to take and what not to take. Haredi culture is much better at drawing lines, obviously with the pros and cons that it comes with. Just last night, I sat with my son, and I installed on his cell phone, this is the arrangement that his high school has in Israel, that he has to have a program on his cell phone that will limit the amount of sites he can visit with his cell phone. And also, if I want, as a parent, I can limit the time and I can say which times of day. I don't think you could get away with that in a modern Orthodox high school in North America. No one would come to that high school, just to show you how different. But something that we have to be careful about. So someone who is as bright as Shlomo, I don't think anyone in this room will ever be brighter than Shlomo. I know I won't. Sometimes, as I said last night, you can be too bright for your own good. People of lesser intelligence know when to stand down, have intellectual humility. people of surpassing intelligence think that they're smarter than everyone and they'll break the rules. Well, their rules in cliches is because they govern human activity. And the smarter person knows that he's just like everyone else when it comes to issues that have nothing to do with intelligence but have to do with hormones and experience and conditioning. So Shlomo thought he could beat the system. I'll marry as many women as I want for Lois, or my heart won't be distracted. And so I was distracted, and basically that was the collapse of Beis David and the collapse of the first Beis HaMikdash. Everything we daven for collapsed, because the night of Hakamas Beis HaMikdash, the night of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo was sacrificing to heathen gods of his wives. The night of the Beis HaMikdash, he and his Egyptian wives are performing heathen rites to those pagan gods. So it's just a lesson, something that is obvious to all of us, but should be stated. It's a very difficult area, and if you fail, doesn't mean you're a failure. Orthodoxy is about failing from time to time, but getting back up and not losing hope and not losing your energy and not losing your commitment and putting yourself back together and not falling into despair. That's what Avodas Hashem is all about in general. So if you fail, Adam in Sadik Baratza Sheyasa Tov Velo Yechta. It's important that this is part of our conversation in a healthy and mature fashion. And Parsha Shoftim is a time to remember that Davka Shlomo, the smartest person alive, failed in this area because he tried to beat the system. Okay. Let us get back to Bava Mitzvah.